made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Oregon Country Fair, July 7th, 8th, and 9th, featuring music, food, and crafts in Vinita, Oregon. Admission and parking tickets are available only at Tickets West, as absolutely no tickets will be sold at the fair site. For directions and information on how to take Amtrak to this drug and alcohol-free event, the number is 1-800-992-8499 or OregonCountryFair.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
And then he said, I don't understand why we're here. They ate us. They just ate us.
Nadja McCaffrey, talking about her son, Specialist Patrick McCaffrey. He was killed in Iraq. This week, on the second anniversary of his death, his mother learned that the Army had lied to her about her how her son died. Today, Nadja McCaffrey talks about a cover-up. Then, on June 28th, the state of Tennessee is scheduled to execute 5 men. 3 executions are expected to be stayed. The last execution in Tennessee was more than 40 years ago.
On June 28th, Tennesseans face a ghoulish prospect. We've only had one execution in over 16,000 days. But on next Wednesday, we face the prospect of a double execution. Both Sedley Alley and Paul Dennis Reed are facing the needle here in Tennessee.
Then Julia Wright, the daughter of the famed writer Richard Wright, is here to talk about Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I've come from France to speak about a turning point in the struggle to liberate Mumia Abu-Jamal. A city outside Paris, Saint-Denis, has named a street in his honor.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Bush administration has been secretly monitoring thousands of international bank transactions without court approval. The secret program was enacted shortly after the 9/11 attacks and what government officials say is a crucial weapon in tracking the financing of terrorist activity. The information has been obtained from the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, or SWIFT. The organization helps direct trillions of dollars in daily international bank transfers. Officials told the Los Angeles Times the program's been marginally successful in tracking the financial activity of Al-Qaeda. SWIFT executives apparently tried to withdraw from the program after becoming concerned over its legality. The executives were persuaded to continue their cooperation only after the intervention of top government officials, including former federal chair Alan Greenspan. Major stories on the program appeared in today's editions of the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and the Wall Street Journal. Both the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times say the Bush administration lobbied them to withhold publication on grounds public disclosure would harm national security. In Iraq, the government has declared a state of emergency following a series of attacks in Baghdad. Earlier today, insurgents set up roadblocks and opened fire on U.S. and Iraqi troops close to the U.S.-run Green Zone. Elsewhere in the Iraqi capital, 10 people were killed, 15 wounded in a bombing of a Sunni mosque. Another 19 deaths were reported around Baghdad. Meanwhile, in Basra, at least 5 people were killed and 15 wounded when a car bombing struck a market in a nearby gas station. The Times of London is reporting the Iraqi government is preparing a major amnesty offer to Iraq's resistance groups. The amnesty would promise a timetable for the withdrawal of foreign troops, inclusion in the political process, a halt to U.S. operations on insurgent strongholds, and compensation to civilian victims of armed attacks. There are no signals the U.S. government has backed the proposal. A White House official said the administration has not agreed to any offer that would grant amnesty to insurgents who've killed U.S. troops. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, the Senate rejected 2 separate withdrawal measures calling for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. This is Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist.
None of us know for sure exactly how the democratic reform in Iraq will turn out. as we stay committed. But we do know it will fail if it is abandoned prematurely by the United States. Withdrawal is not an option. Surrender is not a solution.
Both measures were proposed by Democrats. A proposal calling for withdrawal without a firm deadline was defeated 60 to 39. Another measure calling for troop withdrawal by July of next year was defeated by an even wider margin, 89 to 13. The measure was introduced by Massachusetts Senator and former Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. Speaking on the Senate floor, he argued that a firm timetable is necessary.
Why on earth would senators want to come to the floor and argue, oh, let's just stay the course and do the same old thing when our own generals have told us the same old thing is part of the problem? The same old thing is attracting terrorists. The same old thing is losing us allies. The same old thing is costing us unbelievable sums of money and costing us lives unnecessarily.
Senator John Kerry. In other congressional news, the House voted Thursday to roll back parts of the estate tax. Republicans call the bill a compromise because it doesn't completely eliminate the estate tax on those who inherit property. The House bill exempts taxes on individuals with estates valued up to $5 million and on couples with estates valued up to $10 million. Heirs of estates valued at up to $25 million would also see a drop in their tax rates. The bill will now go to the Senate. Congressional tax experts estimate that only 5,100 estates would now face taxation, down from the current number of 30,000 taxed estates. The bill is estimated to cost up to $300 billion. The House vote came just one day after the Senate rejected a measure that would have raised the minimum wage for the first time in nearly a decade. In Miami, seven people were arrested Thursday on charges of plotting to launch attacks inside the United States. The alleged targets include Chicago's Sears Tower, an FBI office in Miami, and other federal buildings, according to authorities. They say the suspects prepared for the attacks out of a Miami warehouse. The seven are believed to be young American Muslims in their late teens and early 20s. A man claiming to be a member of the group told CNN Thursday they're peaceful and innocent of the charges. At the United Nations, the Bush administration pressed on Thursday with its campaign to prevent Venezuela from securing an open seat on the UN Security Council. Under UN rules, Latin American governments are entitled to pick a country from the region to fill the rotating seat that comes open next year. Brazil, Argentina, Cuba, Bolivia, Uruguay, Paraguay, and several Caribbean nations have already backed Venezuela. The U.S. is lobbying for Guatemala to get the seat. This is UN Ambassador John Bolton.
Our view is that Venezuela would not be a constructive member of the Security Council. We've made that clear in a number of diplomatic efforts, Jean-Marc. That's our position, which I think we've expressed quite strongly and quite clearly.
In Bolivia, the government says it's obtained proof members of ex-President Sanchez de Lozada's government stole millions of public funds. On Thursday, Bolivia released video footage apparently showing ex-government figures looting money from Bolivia's central bank. The footage is dated just days before de Lozada's government was forced from office in October 2003. In Germany, Thursday, a parliamentary inquiry heard new evidence the government failed to take action upon hearing Khaled al-Masri had been kidnapped and handed to the CIA. Al-Masri is the German citizen who was kidnapped and held in a secret prison in Afghanistan, where he says he was repeatedly beaten and drugged. He was eventually released after his captors realized they had the wrong man. This is Wolfgang Neskowitz of Germany's Left Party.
Today's examination was another piece in the puzzle that shows that the German government's claim it had only heard of al-Masri's abduction after he was freed is wrong.
In environmental news, the National Academy of Sciences has released a study showing that the recent surges in global temperatures are unprecedented for at least the last 400 years and potentially the last several millennia. Keeping in mind natural factors such as volcanic eruptions and solar radiation, the study nonetheless concludes that available evidence supports the argument that human activities are responsible for much of the recent warming. Meanwhile, a new study by the National Center for Atmospheric Research has found global warming accounted for close to half the extra warmth found in the tropical North Atlantic waters that fueled hurricanes last year. The study said natural cycles were only a minor factor, contradicting claims that natural cycles are responsible for the recent increase in Atlantic hurricane activity. Meanwhile, the UN is warning this year's hurricane season could lead to another major disaster in Haiti. More than 1,500 people were killed. Thousands of homes were destroyed when Hurricane Jeanne struck Haiti in September of 2004. This is Erta Mergen of the UN Developmental Program.
Our main problem, I will say, is not per se the preparedness and the response capacity of the country, as the high state of vulnerability of the country. Haiti is now has such a depletion of natural resources that we don't really need a major hurricane to break havoc. We just need just normal rain can cause a lot of damage. So this is the threshold for a disaster to happen is very low in Haiti.
In privacy news, AT&T has introduced a new policy that says the company owns customers' account information and can share it with government agencies. Under the new policy, AT&T will collect customers' users' names, passwords, charges, payments, and online purchases. It'll also track their activity while on sites that AT&T operates in a partnership with Yahoo, Inc. The changes come as AT&T is embroiled in a lawsuit brought by the Electronic Frontier Foundation over the company's involvement in the NSA spy program. And finally, a play based on the writings of the late peace activist Rachel Corrie has finally found a theater in New York. My Name is Rachel Corrie will open at the Minetta Lane Theater in October. Based on Rachel's diaries, emails, and letters, the play was originally supposed to show at the New York Theater Workshop in March, just days after the three-year anniversary of Rachel Corrie's death under an Israeli bulldozer in Gaza. But the workshop's directors indefinitely postponed the production following concerns over its political content. You can go to our website, democracynow.org, to see our exclusive interview with New York Theater Workshop director James Nicola, who had rejected the play, and with Rachel Corrie's parents, Craig and Cindy Corrie. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S. military is being accused of another deliberate cover-up involving killings in Iraq. But this time, the victims are not Iraqis. They're American soldiers. Specialist Patrick McCaffrey and First Lieutenant Andre Tyson, both members of the California National Guard, were killed in June 2004 while on patrol near the town of Balad, 50 miles north of Baghdad. Military officials initially told the families that the two soldiers had been attacked and killed in an ambush by insurgents. But the story turns out to be a lie. An Army investigation concluded in September of 2005 that the two men were in fact killed by members of the Iraqi Civil Defense Corps, supposed allies that the guardsmen had been training and patrolling with. McCaffrey and Tyson's fellow soldiers had suspected this was the case all along. Instead of sharing these findings with the families, the military sat on the story for 9 months. It was only after Nadja McCaffrey, the mother of Specialist Patrick McCaffrey, asked California Senator Barbara Boxer in May to pressure the Pentagon to release information about her son's death that the truth has come out. The military revealed what it knew only this week, 2 years after the killings of McCaffrey and Tyson. An Army general briefed the families at their homes on Wednesday. The Pentagon is now being accused of a deliberate cover-up. Senator Boxer said the case raises troubling questions and plans to raise the issue on the floor of the Senate. She told reporters, quote, "I think it's pretty obvious that if the American people knew that the Iraqis we train would turn on our soldiers, support for the war would erode." This is not the first case of its kind. Also in 2004, NFL star Pat Tillman was killed while serving in Afghanistan. The Army initially said Tillman was killed by enemy fire while leading troops into battle. The high-profile story was widely reported in the media. But the Army was later forced to acknowledge that Tillman had in fact been killed by gunfire from his fellow soldiers.